Hello, everybody. My name is John Marks, and I have got an outstanding guest today. My guest is Chuck Ryland. He is a certified financial planner. He's also a social media expert, and we're going to be talking about social media strategies today for business. And, Chuck, I want to welcome you. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Thanks for having me, John. I appreciate it.
So before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about your background and what brings you here? And then let's jump into the social media stuff.
Yeah, today we're going to do a presentation. I titled it The 7 Deadly Mistakes to Avoid with Social Media. And how I got into this was I originally was a police officer, and as a hobby I was doing financial planning on the side, and ultimately I wanted to turn that into a business. So I left police work, went to get an MBA degree, and that was my first introduction to social media because there were a lot of college kids there, younger than me, and I was getting a bunch of invitations to Facebook and LinkedIn, and quite frankly, I thought it was kind of some sort of frat party thing. So I was deleting these things and ignoring them. Eventually, somebody convinced me that LinkedIn would be good for my financial planning practice. So I started looking into it and exploring and trying to find other people that were using it for business. And it just didn't really exist when those things were new. It was kind of like the Wild West. Mm-hmm. Then I started getting into Facebook and learning and playing, and it kind of became a little bit of a hobby. I had some fun with it because I started connecting with old people from high school and people I hadn't seen for 20 years. But eventually I did find that there were some people using it for business, and so I started studying it. I read a couple of, you know, online reports, and I started following some other people that were using it to promote. And eventually I started using it to promote my business. And at some point, most of my financial planning clients had somehow come through Facebook. And then a little bit further, I ended up opening a gym. And then by then, I had really had pretty much a model down and did really, really well promoting. In fact, we did one weekend with a Facebook promotion. We did just over $19,000 just solely through one Facebook promotion. And so since then, I've kind of figured it out, and I've been getting a little bit of media exposure and a lot of contact from other advisors and other business people saying, hey, what are you doing? Can you show me what you're doing? And so that's kind of where I'm at today and how this has kind of happened for me.
Cool. Well, I know you said what you've got to share with us today are 7 deadly mistakes for us to avoid in our use of social media. Can you share those with us?
Yeah, and I'll tell you that they're, you know, deadly, it's kind of a hyped up name, but it's sometimes true. I've seen these from other people's behavior in that I've observed them doing it, and I find it completely annoying and a turn off. And then I've also made some of these mistakes myself, so I've kind of put this list together. And so the first one and the most obvious one that I think most people do, and there's over, I think it's 500 million users on Facebook, if I got the number right.
Wow.
And but the first one is that most people go and they create some sort of profile on one of these social media sites, and they think that that's it. They go there, they put their name in there, they put a picture in there, and that's it, and they wait for the business to come, and it doesn't come.
Yep.
So a little bit more on that one is, first let me explain before we get too far. When I talk about social media, now we're talking about the three big ones, which is Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. There are a lot of other ones out there, but those are kind of the big players right now. And so if you go and put up your picture and you put up your contact information and stuff, that's merely the beginning. What you need to do is view these things just as you would if you were going to a networking event or a cocktail party. And so if you go to, for example, your local chamber networking meeting, and you go there and you show up and you sit in a chair in the corner, nothing's going to happen. Nothing is going to happen. And the same thing will happen in the social networking. If you go there and put your picture up and you just sit in the corner, nothing's going to happen out of it.
Okay, good advice. I think I'm guilty of that one already, so I probably have a lot to learn here. What's next?
So mistake number two, and this one I think is controversial, and like all these things, these are my opinion, they're not fact. So some people would disagree, but what I think is a major, major mistake that people make is they create an online persona that is a business instead of a person. So, for example, if you are Best Buy and you put your Facebook profile or your LinkedIn profile as Best Buy and it's a picture of the Best Buy logo, I'll tell you the first thing I do if I see that on there, I'm running the other way. I don't want to have an interaction with the logo. I'm not interested in Best Buy. But that doesn't mean that I don't go to Best Buy to buy DVDs and so forth. It's just I'm not interested in having a beer or having a cup of coffee or going to dinner with that type of entity. And so what I found has been the most successful for me and other people, because I've experimented with both, is your online persona needs to be you as a person. You need to brand yourself instead of your business name. But that doesn't mean that within your individual profile it's not littered with your business information, because ultimately for our purposes today, we are trying to get business and ultimately establish connections and make money using social media.
Yeah. It sort of sounds to me like this is kind of the big guys and the little guys. And some of us are never going to be big guys. But if we want to do business, we're going to do business with people that are like us. And so we should be personable in our online presence. Is that what you're saying?
I agree exactly with that, because it's the advantage that I think people like you and us, the micro entrepreneurs, can have over, you know, Nike or McDonald's. So Nike and McDonald's, they have a budget to create a brand that people know. If you and I see the little McDonald's symbol on the freeway, we know it. But
right.
What amount of money did they spend to create that brand? You and I don't have that. And so it's just a complete waste of time to try to create that brand. But we can create a personality that, like you just said, other people can relate to and enjoy. And so I think it's an advantage that we have over some of these big companies.
Cool. Okay. What's next?
So mistake number three is over-promoting. And so you'll see this on Twitter. You'll see this on LinkedIn, all of them. You'll see the guy who goes on there and all he does, he or she, is constantly bombarding you with their message and there's no personal connection. And you know this. You know when you go to your friend's birthday party. And I don't want to pick on a car salesman, but they're an easy target. So the car salesman is constantly hustling you, and there's no personal connection there. And the way we are as humans, you know this, if we have a personal connection first, it will evolve to, hey, the typical conversation, hey, what do you do? I'm interested in you now. You know, we have some other connection, like you and I, John, we have this connection of law enforcement. So with that connection, now we can talk about all kinds of things. I'm interested in your business and vice versa. And so if you don't first create that established relationship, then people don't want to hear your business message.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I bet everybody listening can identify with exactly what you're saying, because we all get barraged with this stuff that, you know, I consider it spam. Anybody that just sends me all this stuff I don't want, they're spamming me, and that's not somebody I want to do business with. And yet I can think of other examples where people either are sharing something about themselves or offering to help me in some way, and truly help me, not just, you know, lure me in for something. And they're actually building a relationship there, and that is so obvious, and I agree. I'm certainly drawn to that more than the other ones that are just, you know, filling my inbox or whatever with messages I don't want.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think you and I, John, are such a great example, because you and I met online somehow. And now we're connected.
I think it was through LinkedIn, actually.
Yeah, it was probably through LinkedIn. And now we're connected on all of them. And so when you send out a message about your business, I'm eagerly looking, oh, what's John up to? And not only am I interested in what you're doing, but I'll then say, hey, this is good information. So then I'll pass your information on to my people, and it spreads virally. But if we didn't have that personal relationship first, like you said, it's annoying and it's spam. And a quick little formula I say is to make sure that you have a minimum of three personal messages for each business message that you send. And so what I mean by message is, let's use Facebook as a simple example. If I put a photograph of me and my kids on Facebook, that's a personal message I'm delivering to other people that other people may find interesting, amusing. They'll have some sort of connection with me. Or I put another message about, hey, I went to the movies and I saw this movie. or some other personal stuff, if you do at least three, but preferably more like 5 to 10 personal messages, by the time you then come around to bring your one promotion or your pitch, it's welcomed, and it's not going to be you'll be a welcomed guest instead of an annoying pest.
That's good. I like that. And I agree with you because we built a friendship long before we built, quote-unquote, a business relationship. And I agree with you. When I see your name in the inbox, it's something I want to go see and check out and see what's going on. Whereas there are some people that I have never even met and don't have any relationship with other than, we probably exchanged business cards once or they got my name off a list. Sometimes I don't even know where these people come from.
Right.
And, you know, talk about polluting my inbox. It's just like, whoa, you didn't get my permission to do that.
Right. It's offensive. It's offensive.
Even from strangers, I really wouldn't mind if they do it once mm-hmm. and then they attempt to build some sort of relationship. I don't mind that, but it amazes me how I get these blanket things that, just sort of charge right into whatever they're going to do for me to, you know, help me make $1 million. And I have no relationship with them, and sometimes I don't even recognize their name.
Right, right. And the over-promoting, to me, is if everyone just pictures themselves on Twitter, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, as being at somebody's barbecue, at their home, as a house party or something, if you do the exact same thing that's successful in those one-on-one environments and you carry that over online, you'll never have a problem with over-promoting.
Cool. Great. Okay. What's next?
So the opposite, mistake number four, is not promoting. And so if you take what we just talked about too far and you don't promote ever, because if you're intimidated, then you ain't going to get any business off of social media. So taking what we just talked about in mind, but then also realizing that you are there, if you're using these tools as a marketing thing to promote your business, you are there to get business. There's nothing wrong with promoting your business. And I think some people are too uncomfortable promoting. And what I think it's a mindset thing, in that if you're really, really passionate about what you do and you know that what you offer people is helping people, then there's no reason to be shy about being passionate online and sharing your idea with the world.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense. I think I'm really guilty of that. I've had a lot of jobs in my life, but my main career was law enforcement, and that's a pretty much a service-oriented profession, and you don't have to be a salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people call and you come, and jumping into the business environment, even though I've had a number of my own small businesses, it is a challenge for me to be a networker and to be a salesman. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, in order to pay the bills, you have to do that. But it is a challenge, and I will be the first to say it challenges me.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's hard for all of us people that don't come from a sales background, but the key, I think, is to get excited about it, just like you would if you had, you know, you're a scuba diver, so you're mm-hmm. you're either still are, or at one time, maybe when you first started, you were so excited about scuba diving, and what'd you do? You went and told every one of your friends, hey, let's go scuba diving. In fact, let's go take this class together. Let's go spend all our money and buy all this expensive gear. Like you right? You told all your
yeah,
friends
oh, yeah.
about it. You were excited about it.
I still
passionate.
Am.
Yeah, and so if you take that same passion that you would about your hobbies and you're passionate about your business and it comes across like that, it's not selling in a negative way. It's you sharing great information and sharing your excitement, and it's contagious. People like it. They're like, hey, John's excited about his new business. John's excited about scuba diving or whatever, and it makes me excited about it too, and you'll be okay.
Okay. I think that's really good advice. Thank you. As I'm looking at your list, you have deadly mistake number 5 is no call to action. What do you mean by that?
My training, because I spent a lot of time and money training about marketing, and it's really from direct response marketing. And direct response marketing, without going too far into it, is what is really tends to be the pushy, aggressive, you know, infomercial in the middle of the night. That's direct response marketing, and that's this buy now, buy now.
Yeah.
And direct response marketing is really, really effective. In fact, I think all marketers should be doing direct response marketing. But you got to be careful online not to go too far. But if you if you don't do the basic steps of direct response marketing, which ultimately is a call to action, you won't get anywhere. And so I'll clarify that in that if you do put a marketing message on social media, it has to have a clear description of what the person is supposed to do. What exactly do you want them to do? So I'll try to explain this with some examples. So if you have, for example, on your website, you have some audio interviews of some experts. And so if you post that link onto Facebook or Twitter, the call to action is a link back to your website. So there's a very clear idea of, okay, here's the expert's interview, and click here to get that interview, to get that information. And so so that, as opposed to branding advertising, so the opposite of direct response is branding. So I'll say, like, a Goodyear blimp. Everybody knows what a Goodyear blimp is. And what they do is they fly around with a big sign, big billboard that says Goodyear. But there's no call to action. It doesn't say at the bottom of the Goodyear blimp, hey, call this number and we'll give you a free tire if you buy three tires, right? That's a call to action. And so if you're only doing branding advertising or branding promotion on social media, you're not likely to see any results. And so not only do you need to have the call to action, but it has to be crystal clear to everyone. And what's usually crystal clear to the marketer, so to me it may be obvious, it's usually not obvious to everyone else. So you have to make it so clear that your fifth grade year old kid would understand that call to action.
Well, I think I understand that too, because I think I've pussyfooted around the issue in the past and haven't been very clear about what it is I want the reader, the listener, or whoever to do. And I think that's really good advice.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
So we'll go on to number six, and that's deadly mistake number six is being passive. And this kind of ties back to the first one. If you set up a profile and expect things to happen, they're not going to happen. So it's not only just about engaging in people and putting your marketing message out there. It's actually going out and seeking contacts, people. They're not going to come flocking to you unless you are one of these superstars like Tom Cruise or Britney Spears. You and I and the rest of us in the entrepreneur world, we're not that famous. We're just not that famous. And so we have to go out and seek contacts and actively connect with people who would be either A, potential customers of our services, or B, they're people that may know people that could be contacts of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is influencers, so people who I'll try to think of an example. If you're in the florist business and there's the Association of Florists, perhaps the president of that association may be somebody that you would want to reach out and connect with, so that you can then kind of leverage their list of contacts and get to connect to more people through these big key influencers. And so to summarize what I'm saying is you have to go out there and not be shy and go out and make friends with these people. And bringing this back into the real world, just all of this stuff is just like any networking thing. So if we were at a chamber event, and I walked into the chamber event, and I sat there, and I expected people to come to introduce themselves to me, there may be a few brave people that will, but the majority will ignore me. So it takes a lot of courage for you to walk up to complete strangers and say, hey, my name is Chuck, how are you? And tell me a little bit about yourself. You got to have that same courage online and go out there and actively pursue and make contacts with people to grow your list of people on these social networks.
Yeah. Well, I think you used it earlier. I think you and I are a really good example of that, because you can actually do that online. You and I live in different states, and I think it was probably a year or more after we had actually connected online and started collaborating together that we actually met in person.
Yeah, we went on a cruise.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, people think that this, you know, business is all just brick and mortar and down at the local Rotary meeting or Chamber of Commerce meeting or what have you, and it's not. You can make connections, you know, across the globe and never probably meet some of the people you collaborate with. So I think people need to be thinking a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Isn't that
probably
true?
Yeah, I would agree. And you know, you brought up a point that I'll add is that, you know, if you're in the business-to-consumer market, like McDonald's is in the business-to-consumer, they're a business and they sell to consumers. And that's very typical. But there are a lot of people that are in the business-to-business market, meaning I sell engines to Boeing, right? So I'm an engine manufacturer and my customer is Boeing. And so a lot of those people, I think, tend to shy away from social media thinking, you know, I actually sell to businesses. But on the same idea of what you're talking about, it's still a people-to-people, person-to-person business. So if I have to sell an engine to Boeing, I don't sell the engine to Boeing and Boeing. I sell it to some other person that has the buying decision within mm-hmm. Boeing. And those people are on social media. Everybody nowadays, there's very, very few people that aren't on social media. And in fact, I'll kind of digress from our topic a bit. There perhaps are some, maybe some in the older generation, or some, there's a misnomer that, you know, the CEO of whatever company, some huge company, is not on social media. And that may or may not be true, but I will guarantee you that the daughter of the CEO of the Fortune 500 company is on there. And the daughter has a child who is the grandchild of Mr. Big Shot CEO. And the daughter says, "Dad, I know you're Big Shot CEO of whatever corporation, but if you want to see the pictures of your daughter, your granddaughter, I'm putting them on Facebook because that's the easiest place to put them," right? And so there's some connection to all of these different networks to just about everybody out there.
Huh. That's a really good point. And, yes, so many times people in my life have drugged me to Facebook to look at pictures, and I still think of it as arduous to go out there and log on. And I guess some people just have some of their social media sites open on their computer all day long, and maybe that's what I need to be doing too.
Yeah. Well, there's a balance between you spend all your time on there, and that's counterproductive too. So certainly you got to manage your time just like everything else, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard people talk about social media crack,
which,
you know, it becomes kind of addicting, and you have to watch out for that. So I've certainly been caught up in that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, that was number six. What's deadly mistake number seven?
Okay, not bringing your tribe is a word I'm borrowing from Seth Godin, and that's taking your tribe outside of social media and bringing them into your own database. So what I mean by tribe or other language is herd. Or list.
Right.
Ultimately, whatever business you're running, you're in the list business. You need to be generating a list. And it's a mm-hmm. list of prospects, and it's a list of customers. And this isn't just a spam list like we talked about earlier, because if you wanted that list, you just get the phone book and there's your list.
Yep.
You need a qualified list of prospects and customers that have some sort of interest in whatever your product or service is. And so if you rely only on Twitter, LinkedIn, or Facebook for capturing that list. So, for example, let's say you have 2,000 people on Twitter, or 5,000 people, or 100 people. The number is completely irrelevant, but whatever. You have this list of fans, raving fans on Facebook who love you and they love your product. You have to. Your number one goal has to be to pull them out of that system and into your own database. And what I don't mean doing that as a spammer would. So the way that a spammer would do that would be, I have all these people in Facebook, and I can access their email addresses through Facebook, and I go and I write all their Facebook or their email addresses down in my list, and I start spamming them through email. That is the wrong way to do it. The right way to do it is to give them some sort of reason to leave Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn and to come over to your website or your snail mail or whatever, and to get into your database voluntarily. So then, no matter what happens with the technology of Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn or what have you, you have your own list that you can then promote to, sell your products to, communicate with, and continue to offer your services to.
Cool. I like that. Are we talking from a business perspective, kind of like contact management here, right?
Exactly. So I can do it. I'll give you a few great examples of how to do this. So if you have, for example, a blog and you are selling, let's say I'm selling cell phones, and you have a blog about the latest cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Most people nowadays have some sort of opt-in list. So you say on your own website, you have enter your name and your email address, and I'll give you the latest update newsletter of the latest and greatest cell phones and the cheapest place to buy those. Mm-hmm. And so your entire goal on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn is solely to use those things as a lead generation to lead them to your website, to then put their name and email address into your own database. And now they're going to be getting your newsletter or whatever it is you're offering, so you can continue mm-hmm. to do that. And you can take it a step further and pull this offline. So an example in my gym, what I used to do is we did it in a multi-step manner, and the first thing we did was we brought them from Facebook or Twitter over to our gym website and said, hey, we'll give you a free day's pass if you put your name and email address. And what we'd then be able to do is then promote to those people through email, and they had voluntarily joined in. You know, they agreed. We'd say, hey, you know, we're going to give you this free pass, but we're also going to give you occasional information about a gym. So they knew that it was coming. They volunteered for it.
Right.
Then we take it a step further and said, okay, here's your one-day pass. But if you really want to get a whole week or two-week pass, I don't remember what we were doing, we'd say enter your mailing address here, and we'll mail you a two-week pass to our gym. And I've done this now with multiple different companies and businesses, this exact same formula, and it seems for about every 100 people that opt in on the email, you usually get 70 to 80 that will give you their mailing address. And then now you have their mailing address, so then if you have some great offer that you want to mail them, you can use mail. And now, worst case scenario, Facebook shuts down, Twitter shuts down, or they ban you for whatever reason, which happens.
Yeah.
You know, you're too aggressive or something, they cut you off. You still have all of your prospects and customers in your own contact management list.
Yeah. Wow. Good stuff. You've got seven. Do you want to do a quick summary of all seven and then kind of summarize the whole concept for us?
Yeah. I'll review these real quick. So the first one is to make sure that you create a not only create a profile, but you also actively engage in those people. The second mistake is, and this is more of an opinion, but it's I think it's supported, is that you want to be your picture, you want to be a personal brand, and you want to brand yourself instead of trying to brand a business or a logo.
Yep.
Number three is over-promoting. Don't be that annoying pest. Make sure that you promote while blending in a lot of personality in your marketing. And number four, the mistake is the opposite of that, is not promoting at all. If you don't promote, then you're not going to get any business. Just flat out, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Number five is no call to action. Make sure that every single message that some sort of promotion has some sort of clear call to action so that the person interested in what you're doing has a very clear idea of what you want them to do and where they are supposed to go. Number six is being passive. You need to actually go out there, seek out contacts, and make this thing happen rather than hoping that people will come to you. And number seven, before I'm going to give you a bonus one, is not bringing your list or your prospects list outside of the technology of the social media and creating your own contact database. And so the bonus one, I just thought about it while we were talking, and it's important, and it's when you talked about the crack, because everything can become addicting if you find it interesting enough, and I'll tell you, when I first started, I think this is common, is usually most people will connect immediately with about 100 to 130 people, and a lot of those people are people you haven't seen for 20 years. Maybe mm-hmm. maybe it's the first girl you kissed in the sixth grade, or your friend from the high school or whatever, and so it's easy to get lured in and spend all your time with these things. And so I guess my little bonus tip on time management is to have, whenever you log into these things, if you're solely logging in for the intent of pleasure, there's nothing wrong with that. Spend all the time you have allotted for pleasure, just like you would on the weekend when you're sitting around the house. But if you're logging into these things for business work purposes, set a clear start time and a clear end time and have a very clear and specific goal of what you're going to be doing while you're on these things.
Cool. I like that. And I actually learned that one the hard way and have already been doing that because, you know, they're all fascinating. They're all addicting. And you're right. You get off on these wild goose chases down a rabbit hole and forget about why you logged on in the first place.
Right, right.
So I think that is great advice. Thank you.
Right.
Did you want to give yourself a plug or do a summary here? Anything else you want to share with us?
You know, for the financial advisors that are on this call that are going to be receiving this, if you listen to this and haven't gotten my free report, you can get a 30-page free report on this subject but different topics at feeonlysocialmedia.com. So that's www.feeonlysocialmedia.com. And you can download my free report, which has a lot of other stuff than what we talked about here.
Cool. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your time. This has been valuable to me, and I'm betting valuable to everybody that was listening, so I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
Thank you, Chuck. And you have been listening to another edition of Cops Alive Audio Bulletin. At Cops Alive, we help law enforcement professionals plan for happy, healthy, and successful lives both on the job and beyond. Stay safe, and we'll see you next time.